Praise the Lord. I'm pretty convinced out of all the languages that are and have been that that will be one word that will be preserved in heaven. I believe we'll still hear that word in heaven. Hallelujah. In fact, you can turn to the book of Revelation to discover they're using that one. Amen. Simply means let the Lord be praised. Look at this good group of young people on the front pew. That's some amen corner. And they've got their tablets out and ready to take notes. Got their Bibles. Amen. If you turn in your scripture tonight to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. How many remember since the beginning of the year introducing our theme and preaching about our theme, I've been preaching on pursuing His presence. Pursuing His presence. We've talked about a lot of things. Pursuing His presence in prayer. Pursuing His presence in reading of the Word. Pursuing His presence in purity. Pursuing His presence in the promise of the Holy Spirit. I want to do one more this evening. By the way, I don't think I've said it. It's good to see everyone, even those that are recently new amongst us. Glad to have you. And we're just so thankful that you have a heart to be in God's house on a Sunday night. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching on pursuing by doing His work. Pursuing by doing His work. Let's go ahead and stand. And I'm going to read three verses. You can keep your Bibles open because I'm going to, after we pray, I'm going to look right back at these verses. I will be some stressing some things in here when I read them, these three verses. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to every creature. Verse 19. So then after that the Lord had spoken unto them, He went somewhere. He was received up into heaven, and He sat on the right hand of God. Stay right there on that verse. In this verse, where's God at? He's in heaven at the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth. He said, go. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Now, I had this prepared and was going to preach it back at the end of March. And then we have the Lord move in a certain way, and then I changed the message, and then we had the special services, and then I was gone last week. Didn't have the opportunity to preach it then, but I don't think it was by accident or by coincidence that I ended up preaching this message on tonight, the Sunday that precedes the Outreach and Sidewalk Sunday School launch. I think God knew all along that this would be the message for tonight. Amen? Pursuing His presence by doing His work. Here's my whole premise I'm going to lay out before you, and I'm not going to preach long, so if you get it, you're going to have to stay right on the train. We'll be kind to you, make up for this morning. But here's the whole premise tonight. If you really want to discover God's presence, if you really want to find God's presence, if you'll do His work, you'll find His presence. If you'll do His work. I'm not necessarily talking about church work. I'm talking about His work. His work. I wanted to go back to those verses just real quickly and stress a little more than I did when we read in verse 15, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Verse 19, Jesus was received up into heaven and sit at the right hand of God. Where's Jesus at? He's in heaven. So why in the next verse, verse 20, say that when they went out preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, the Lord was working with them? How is He with them when He's in heaven? I hear the answer, and that's correct. You see, yes, Jesus ascended to the Father, but he said, if I go away, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And though he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, he is with his disciples as they share the good news through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the enablement of the Holy Spirit, through the moving of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't quite get that. I'm going to just divert for just a moment to Romans 8 and note something that Paul said. He said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I mean, let me unpack that for you, what Paul is saying. Jesus dwells in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that is Jesus dwelling in our hearts. So yes, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But when they begin to share the good news about Jesus Christ, when they went from this village to that village, from this person's house to that person's house, amen, it could say the Lord was working with them because the Holy Spirit was there speaking and moving and touching and reaching. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where Jesus is. But the particular thing I want you to notice, he was with them as they were doing his work. He said, go share the gospel. And so as they shared the gospel, he was with them. He worked with them. Even with signs following, miracles happened. Why? Because they were doing his work. So I want to present tonight, and this is the whole point. When the disciples did what Jesus asked them to do, and by the way, he only asked them to do what he did on earth. He only asked the disciples to do what he would have continued to do had he remained on earth. When the disciples did what Jesus asked them to do, he and his presence was right there with them. The Lord was with them, working with them. And so that's why I can say, Brother Vint, if we want to find his presence, we just need to do his work. We're going to find him there. How many believes that premise tonight? There's many things. Let me just share three quickly tonight. The work of sharing the good news to others. I want you to know tonight, we know and we have what people desperately need and deep down desire. We talk about the mess our world is in. I want you to know, we know what they need. And down deep, I think many of them desire to know what we have to share. What we have to share is not sour grapes. It's not bitter medicine. What we have to share is good news. There is deliverance through Christ Jesus. There is purpose. There is meaning. There's a cleansing of heart and mind and soul and life and conscience. Amen. We got good news to share. And putting everything together that I've already mentioned, amen, when we do the work of sharing the good news, Jesus is going to be involved in that. How many believes that there is nothing Jesus is more interested in than people hearing the good news and being saved and delivered by that? How many believes Jesus is really interested in that? I want you to know, he gets involved in what he's interested in. Amen. I want you to think, you've been around church, and you know this to be true. But wouldn't you agree that some of the times you have felt the presence of God the greatest in a church service was when somebody was responding to the gospel and getting saved? How many just felt all kinds of power and mercy and grace and love when somebody is finding the Lord? That's what I'm saying. When we do the work of sharing the good news, we experience his presence. Jesus' mission on earth is still his mission, that folks be saved and delivered by the power of the gospel. But now he uses the church. He uses the people that make up the church. And so when we share the good news in a church, somebody gets saved. He's right there in it. We feel his presence. But did you know what's true in church is true individually? I challenge you tonight. I know it's a difficult thing, and I'm not going into the particulars of personal evangelism, but I challenge you to share the good news of Jesus Christ to someone. And I challenge you, if you will not at that moment feel the presence and nearness of Jesus, you'll do it. I'm not here to talk about myself tonight, but I just need some illustrations. And I'll never forget a time I had not been here but several weeks, and someone in the church, their father-in-law was about to have surgery. They weren't saved. It was in Indianapolis. And he said, "Pastor, would you go with me and talk to this man in Indianapolis?" And I, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And I was a little nervous, you know. I just knew pastor and all that. And he took me to the hospital, introduced me, and then expected me to share the gospel. And I shared the gospel. I didn't know how to do it. I just said, "Look, doctors have been in here to check on your body. And what I do, I'm a pastor. I came in to check on your spirit, your soul. How is your soul?" Begin to talk to him about the gospel. And I said, "Would you like to pray?" And he said, "Yes, I would." And led him into salvation prayer. He gave his heart and life to the Lord. After surgery, he survived. Went on to serve the Lord for many years before he finally passed away some years ago. But I want you to know, at that moment, when he said, "Yes, I'd like to pray," and as we prayed, and I could tell a conversion was taking place, someone was being born into the kingdom, I felt the presence of Jesus. How do we pursue his presence? We do his work. I challenge from young on, you'll never feel the presence of Christ like you will when you share the gospel to someone. It's the heat of the day, a time when no one else goes to the well, but there's a woman of ill repute, desperately needing a change of life, sitting on that well. I promise you, if you go to that well to share the gospel, you're going to find Jesus there at that well. Secondly, tonight, do the work of serving others. You will find God's presence when you set yourself to serve others, in other words, to meet their needs. By the way, that is service. It is to find a need and to meet it. I promise you it'll happen. And again, I just need some illustrations tonight. But many years ago, you know, we had a lot of folks in the nursing home at one time, some time ago. And I spent a lot of time in nursing homes. And I went to see this one sister. She's up in years, and she had one of those lift chairs, recliner lift chairs in her room. And I walked in, she's sitting all askew, right? I said, "What in the world's wrong with it?" And she said, "Well, something's broken. I can't get anybody to fix it." And I opened my mouth and said, "Well, I'll fix it. Let me take a look what it needs." And I looked under it, and there were some bolts and nuts that were missing. And I said, "Well, next time I come, I'll bring that." Well, you know me long enough to know I'm a germaphobe. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying anything about any institution. I'm just saying, underneath a chair in a medical facility, next thing I knew, I'm lying down on the ground, my head up under that chair. Has anyone noticed the things that collect? And I'm fighting. But I'm telling you, you know, when I got it fixed and she sat in it and I saw the gratefulness on her face, I felt the presence of Jesus. I can't tell you all this story, but let me just briefly say, one of the other times I have felt the presence of God and most fulfilled in ministry is when I taught an adult how to read, because it had become an impediment in their life. And taught them how to read. It's just, what I'm trying to say is, if you want to pursue his presence, you find a real need. And when you engage to meet that need, you're going to find the presence of Jesus there. Oh, hallelujah. You know, listen, I see someone unhappy. Please hear this. I see someone unhappy in their walk with God, unsatisfied in their Christian life, unsettled in church, sour towards other believers, critical of anything that's attempted to be done for God. If I see someone in that situation, I know I'm looking at somebody that has made the Christian life, has made church, and has made life in general all about themselves. I know there's incidental things that happen, but I'm talking generally. If I see someone that's never happy serving God, never happy in church, never happy with the singing, never happy with the preaching, never happy with brothers and sisters, I'm looking at someone that's made serving God all about themselves, and I got news for you. You never will be happy. It's when you begin to meet the needs of others, think of others' needs. That's where you experience the presence of God. So I want to tell you something. I'm going to preface it with this. Foot washing in Scripture is not an institution. It was an example of meeting people's needs. But using that example, if somebody's got dirty feet and you kneel down to wash their dirty feet, if you'll look to your right or to your left, you'll find Jesus kneeling right beside you, because that's what he did. Amen? You pursue his presence by doing the work of serving others. And then last of all, you pursue his presence by the work of praying for others. There's a wonderful truth that ought to give us great consolation in our hearts. But Scripture says that Jesus, the mediator between God and man, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Church, sometimes we fail to think about that, but when you leave and face your week ahead, you can know something. Jesus is praying for you. How does that settle in? Jesus is praying for you. Why would I want to engage Mary to pray for me? Jesus is praying for me. Right? And so, could I say tonight that if you pray for others, you're going to experience the presence of Jesus, because that's what he's doing. Amen. I remember many of you remember her name. Little Sister Daisy. Yeah. We had two Daisies, but the little one, the short one. She was real sick in the hospital. And I never forget, Good Sam, Saturday afternoon, I went in to pray for her in her hospital room, and the hospital door was open just a little bit. And I'll never forget, as I laid hands on her and began to pray for her, and I'm not this kind of person. It was just a real experience. I really felt like Jesus walked through that gap in the door there and entered the room and put his hand on her head right beside me. And it would have said the Lord went with them, working with them. Amen. And as I was praying for her, I just felt it in my spirit that Jesus walked into. Of course, there was the other time, that new convert I'd been working with, an alcoholic. I got really upset with him, the way he was doing, and he wouldn't respond to the discipleship or anything. I got really upset, and I got a call from the hospital, and some nurse said, he really is asking for you. We got him in the treatment center here, but he keeps asking for you, will you come? And I was upset. I don't mind saying it. I mean, he just wouldn't do what he's asked to do. He wouldn't cooperate. And so I walked in there. I was really upset, and I let him have it in that little conference room and talked to him and everything. And he said, well, are you going to pray for me? Yeah, I guess I will. Begin to pray for him. But all of a sudden, I was aware that the Lord had stepped into that room, because that's what he does. He prays. And when we pray, so could I tell you, and when your heart is heavy with the needs of others, if you'll go to the Garden of Gethsemane and you'll kneel down, if you look over there beside you, you're going to find that Jesus is there. Hallelujah. You might even hear that he's calling out your name as you're calling out somebody else's name. Amen. How many believes you'll find his presence doing his work? Would you come, music? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I had a call last week, and I really believe what I'm telling you tonight. I really believe. If there's a dearth in your life, Excuse me, I need to rephrase that. Let me try that again. Woo! If there's a drought, if there's a spiritual drought in your life, one of the quickest ways to get out of that drought into the presence of God again is to get involved in His work. I know summer is awfully busy, a lot of things to do. But hey, life's always busy. It never slows down. As my wife says a million times, people end up doing just exactly what they want to do. And that's true. But what a wonderful opportunity to be involved in outreach, sidewalks. I promise you, you'll encounter the presence of the Lord when you knock on a door, when you pray with a kid, when you bring someone to church. But get back to where I was going sometime last week, and I won't share enough details that anything will be specified, but I got a call. Pastor, I got so much pain in my life, both from things happening in their life and from past mistakes and the consequences. And here was the question they asked me. Pastor, I've got so much pain in my life. How can I be healed? And I just felt like God prompted me to say, if you want to be healed of that pain in your life, look around and find people that have needs in their life and set your heart on meeting those needs, and the pain in your heart will begin to heal. Why? Because if they begin to help others, they're going to encounter the presence of Jesus, and there's nothing as healing as the presence of Jesus. Amen. Could you stand? Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you, Christ, for your example. Thank you, Christ, that you really did wash dirty feet. Thank you, Lord, that you do pray for us. Thank you, Lord, you did bring us the good news. Lord, encourage us tonight that we can discover your presence afresh and anew as we do your work, because as we do your work, you'll be there involved. I'm going to give this altar call tonight simply this way. You say, Pastor, I hear the message, and I desire the presence of Jesus, and I'm going to commit myself tonight to those things that you preached about. Amen. Would you come and fill these altars? I'm going to find the presence of Jesus doing His work. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Child to receive, plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. meditate.